Hello, this is Dave with the News Gazette for the Saturday-Sunday edition for July 11th, 2026. We'll begin today's reading with the headline on the front page, Camaraderie on Top, on Tap, Weekend Special. Penfield's Church Broads Lead Effort to Resurrect Local Bar. This is by Jana Wersema. Penfield. If you live in Penfield, chances are you've heard of a group of women known as the Church Broads. The moniker is not entirely literal or limited to one denomination. Member Agnes San Miguel noted that while the Church Broads started as a group of women from St. Lawrence Catholic Church, it has grown to include a little bit of everything over the years. Catholics, Lutherans, Methodists, agnostics, and even an atheist. I came by way of being a Protestant, said Rhonda Gordon, who plays the organ at St. Lawrence and is married to a Catholic. We help people out, San Miguel explained. We work at funeral dinners. We take care of the community. The group would hang out at the Last Call Bar and Grill on Thursday nights, catching up on the week's events over dinner and drinks, she said. We used to call it our church meeting at the bar, joked member Jamie Dorsey. That was kind of our place to hang out. It was on one such Thursday night, nearly 2 years ago, that their world turned upside down. On the evening of September 19, 2024, Last Call took to social media, writing that it was the bar's last night in business. It was devastating, San Miguel said. We're in the bar that night. About a year passed, and there was no news of their beloved hangout reopening under another owner. So the Church Broads decided to seek a little bit of supernatural help. Legend has it that if you bury a statue of St. Joseph on a property, it will sell faster. So the group did just that in the fall of 2025, Dorsey said. As we were sitting there, we were talking, and we were like, well, why don't we buy the bar, she recalled. Over the past year, some members of the Church Broads and other individuals have worked to make this dream a reality by getting liens taken off the bar and the developing an LLC to buy the property from the bank in a short sale for $55,000, according to Dorsey. It's just a little crazy, she said. You would have to be crazy to buy a bar, am I right? Well, call Dorsey and her friends crazy. The group closed on the property at 105 Main Street on Wednesday. Festivities included getting the power turned back on, pouring some champagne, and of course, digging up St. Joseph. It was just joy and exhilaration, Gordon said. Losing Last Call was a horrible, horrible blow to the entire community, San Miguel said. And I think people are excited that we did step forward and decide that we're not going to take this lying down. However, once the bar reopens, locals can expect to see a different name on the building. Our Bar. Last Call is gone, San Miguel said. It's our bar. It belongs to everybody in the community. There are about 9 people in the core group involved with buying the bar, including 6 from the Church Broads, and about 20 people have contributed funds to help purchase and renovate the building, said Dorsey, who is the manager of property owner Our Bar LLC. You just don't know what it's like to have a group of women get so excited about putting all their time and their effort and some of their money. We've had some major contributors in this, she said. And they're excited to own the building and actually do something instead of letting it sit there and just fall apart in front of us. Of course, buying the property was just the first step. The group's next moves will include cleaning up the building and finding someone to lease and run the bar, Dorsey said. I would hope by January 1, we would have it all up and running, she said. But it'll take some time, and it might be before then. We just don't know. We just kept kicking it around and just kept saying, somebody has to do something, and we have to do something, San Miguel said. And I'm going to tell you, women can get it done. We're not afraid to make decisions, and we have gathered a group of people that are from the community here, from the town here, from all around us. They're good souls. They're working people, retirees, people who have a real interest, too, in seeing that bar open again. The bar has been a part of the community since 1932 and held the honor of having the oldest liquor license in Champaign County prior to shuttering. News of last call's closure came about 4 months after it was announced that St. Lawrence would merge with St. Malachy in Rantoul, St. Charles Borromeo in Homer, and St. Elizabeth of Hungary in Thomasboro, with Rantoul being the main worship site. The Penfield Church continues to hold services every Saturday evening and hosts other local activities, Dorsey said. Still, members of the Church Broads said that last call's closure left their small town, which had a population of 151 as of the 2020 census, with few places to gather. Right now, you can't even get a cup of coffee in Penfield in the morning, San Miguel said. We need that. We need that togetherness. We need that socializing. She noted that there used to be a restaurant on the highway, but it shuttered several years ago and is now a very sad, dilapidated building. She's sure that the same would have happened to the bar if the group hadn't stepped up to buy it. For Gordon, the only other gathering place in Penfield that comes to mind is the church hall. But as far as the community, the bar was the gathering place for everyone, she said. Adding that last call also attracted patrons from communities such as Rantoul, Royal, Ogden, Potomac, and Rankin. Like Cheers, everybody knew your name, said husband Danny Gordon. San Miguel told the News Gazette that the bar was a very genuine place, full of camaraderie and people who cared about each other. It seems like nobody knows anything, because where did you find out everything? You found out everything at the last call, she added. You'd go up there, sit, have a pop, have something to eat, have a beer, whatever, and you'd talk about what was going on in the area. Dorsey likewise said that the community was the best part of hanging out at the bar. I've had people who, like I said, are silent partners, but they gave a lot of money because the other bars in Gifford or Royal are nice and everything, but they just missed the atmosphere that we experienced at the last call, she said, and we're hoping to get that back. The bar holds a lot of memories for the Church Broads. The Gordons' first meeting and their 25th wedding anniversary, post-funeral dinners, and an Irish wake for one of the group's members who died. Birthdays, Halloween, and New Year's Eve's parties, and everything in between. It's kind of like Vegas, you know. What goes on at Vegas stays in Vegas, Dorsey joked. So let's just say there was a time when some of us got on the pool table and danced, and the next week, the pool table was gone. At first, the idea of buying the bar was kind of a joke, but it took a serious turn, Gordon said. I think we felt as a group of community women that the community needs this, she said. It's just been a source of kind of pride in the area, and we've made a lot of memories there, and we hope to continue. More information on the effort to reopen the bar, including how to donate to the cause, can be found at ourbarpenfield.com. We're putting together a package to hand a new operator the keys to something worth running, organizers wrote. That means renovations. That means restoring what made this place special. That means we need your help. The group is looking to raise $25,000 for renovations and is offering various levels of perks for different donation levels. For a gift of $25, a donor's name will be added to a founder's wall inside the bar. At the other end of the spectrum, those who give $1,000 or more will get top billing on the founder's wall, $150 tab credit, VIP status for life, a free drink, and a seat at the table on opening night. A permanent reserve spot, Dorsey reported that donations of $2,300 have come in through the site since she and Gordon discussed the effort on Wednesday's edition of News Gazette Radio. Additionally, the group has already interviewed some people who are interested in running the bar. We'll just take it one day at a time and trust that we can get this done, she said. We've gotten this far. When asked what qualities she'd like to see in a new operator, San Miguel replied that trustworthiness, experience, and a sociable nature are all important. She added that the operator will need an understanding of how a small town bar runs. It's nothing fancy at all, she said. It's hamburgers and hot dogs and french fries and chicken wings. And it's not a seven-course meal type thing. So somebody who has an understanding that when you come into a small town and have a bar, you just start off and sort of lay low and listen to everything that's going on and not make all these changes at once. The power was off at first when the building's new owners took possession of the property on Wednesday. When the lights came on, it was just the most fabulous feeling, Gordon said. The new owners aren't the only ones excited by their progress. There is no stopping these women, Heather Baker, broker on the Seifert team at Keller Williams Realty, TREC, wrote in a social media post after the sale closed Wednesday morning. That is a statement I know will continue to ring true, Baker said. Today, they officially closed on this longtime local watering hole, a place that so many of us have missed over the past 2 years. This establishment holds countless memories for so many of us in the community, including my family and I, so I could not be more excited to see it come back to life. That's why we named it Our Bar, because it's for all the community members, Gordon said. So many people have missed it so much. And a few of the people that found out that our closing was yesterday, and then they saw our cars there. So many of those people stopped in and gave us hugs and kisses and just wishes of good luck, and it was just a fabulous feeling. To be a part of a small community like this is really pretty special. Continuing on the front page, federal indictment titled Ammons's Deny Any Wrongdoing. House GOP launches investigative committee. This also is by Jana Wersima. Urbana. State Representative Carol Ammons, Democrat Urbana, and Champaign County Clerk and Recorder Aaron Ammons have both issued statements avowing their innocence after 2 days of staying silent on the federal charges that have been brought against them. Public service is built on trust, and I do not take that responsibility lightly, Carol Ammons said in a statement Friday morning. I want to be clear. I have done nothing wrong, and I strongly disagree with the allegations outlined in this indictment. I have complete confidence that the facts will demonstrate my innocence, and I intend to vigorously defend myself through the judicial process, she added. About 45 minutes after his wife released her statement, Aaron Ammons provided similar comments. I want to state emphatically that I am not guilty of any such offenses, he said. I will work with my retained attorney to mount a robust defense against the charges levied against me, and I'm confident that the facts will prove my innocence. The Ammons statements were soon followed by an announcement that 11 Illinois House Republicans have filed paperwork to launch a special investigating committee on Carol Ammons. News broke Wednesday that the Ammonses have been indicted by a grand jury on several charges. Carol Ammons is facing 8 counts of wire fraud, 1 count of providing a false statement to an FBI agent, and 1 count of conspiracy to obstruct justice. Aaron Ammons is charged with 1 count of conspiracy to obstruct justice and 1 count of obstruction of justice. The indictment, which was filed Tuesday, alleges that Carol Ammons misused campaign funds to benefit herself and her family, used state grants to benefit herself and her daughter, and conspired with her husband to impede the investigation of the alleged fraud. House Speaker Chris Welch, Democrat Hillside, has temporarily removed Carol Ammons from House Democratic caucus meetings and all House committees. He is also having staff review the state budget to determine whether any funds need to be paused or reconsidered. Democratic leadership has said the courts should handle this, House Minority Leader Tony McCombie, Republican Savannah, said around midday Friday. The courts should absolutely do their job, but the Illinois House has a responsibility to do ours. Accountability in the legislature cannot be outsourced to the criminal justice system. The recent indictments against local elected officials are significant and concerning, the Champaign County Democratic Party wrote in a Facebook post Thursday. Local party leaders added that the party takes these allegations seriously and believes that elected officials must uphold the highest ethical standards, act with transparency, and remain accountable to their constituents. We respect the judicial process and will continue to monitor the proceedings as additional facts and information become available, the Post concluded. While there have been calls from Illinois Republicans for both Carol and Aaron Ammons to resign in light of the accusations, neither mentioned any plans of stepping down in their statements. On the contrary, Aaron Ammons said, "As the case works its way through the judicial process, I will continue to serve as your county clerk and maintain my commitment to fair, free, and accessible elections." His wife similarly said, "I remain committed to serving the people of this district with integrity and transparency while this process moves forward." Additionally, both the Ammonses said, since the charges are a judicial matter, they will not, in Carol Ammons' words, litigate the facts through the media. Instead, the couple expressed confidence that they will be vindicated in court. Continuing inside the front page, top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rossow. The longtime voice of the Fisher Fair is also a familiar face, thanks to a 2-story announcer's booth featuring windows that open. "People can see me and I can see the people," said Art Bulldog Downs. "I like it that way." The 85th Fisher Fair has been dedicated to Downs, who's been behind the mic since 1990. He was honored earlier this week and received a plaque that now hangs on the living room wall at his Iroquois County home in tiny Pittwood. His wife of 42 years, Corinne, is one of the few wives who don't make you throw the trophies in the basement. Downs, 77, started announcing in 1968, 1 year after graduating Rankin High, and got paid for the first time at the Ford County Fair in 70. Among his go-to lines during the thousands of tractor pulls he's called, she walks, she talks, she crawls on her belly like a reptile. His voice and knowledge set him apart. "I've lived it," he said. "I was very fortunate to be on the farm through the days of the muscle tractors. It gives me an edge on the other guys." Bulldog, his CB handle from days driving and repairing Mack trucks, will wrap up year 36 at Fisher by calling tonight's Demo Derby. The dedication left Downs feeling very honored, and he's excited to keep coming back as long as they'll have me. But I told them I'm nearing my expiration date. And in history, area history in 1926, State Route 39 from Champaign to Farmer City was thrown open to traffic all the way to a point 2.5 miles west of Farmer City. On the route, the Mahomet Bridge is also now open. There is still a short unpaved gap on the western edge of Mansfield where the new road crosses the Wabash Railroad tracks. An overhead track will be built there as soon as the community can afford to purchase the necessary right-of-way. In 1976, associate and assistant professors at the University of Illinois earned the least amount in salaries and fringe benefits during 1975-76 as compared with faculty at other Big Ten schools, according to a national survey by the American Association of University Professors. The survey shows average compensation for full professors at the university tied for fifth along with Indiana University among Big Ten schools, while instructors' pay ranked ninth. In international history on this date, in 1798, the U.S. Marine Corps was formally reestablished by a congressional act that also created the U.S. Marine Band. And in our community news from the Champaign County Court, we have Urbana man convicted of sexual abuse of preteen relative released ahead of sentencing. This article is by Luke Taylor, Urbana. An Urbana man detained after being found guilty of sexually assaulting a victim under the age of 13 has been released pending sentencing. Stephen Thompson, 25, was convicted in a late June trial for making sexual contact with a relative of his when she was around 10 years old. She also alleged that he had performed a similar act on her when she was only 4 years old. Thompson had not been jailed before the trial, but after the verdict, Champaign County Judge Roger Weber ruled that he would be until his sentencing in September. Thompson faces between 6 and 60 years in prison. At trial, he was represented by defense attorney Aaron Weiner, but a motion filed later removed Weiner from the case, citing mutual agreement between him and the defendant. Public defender Elizabeth Pollock is now representing Thompson and did so at a Friday hearing in which Weber reversed his decision, ruling that Thompson would no longer be held in jail. His release doesn't affect the potential sentence. At trial, the victim, now 14, testified that Thompson had sat near her while she was watching television and touched her private parts, further elaborating that she meant the part I use to pee. She said that she felt sad and mad that he would do that to me and told him to stop, but that he continued. She was able to describe details about the interaction that prosecutors said a child of her age would not know about if it had not happened. Her testimony also included a very similar incident occurring in a vehicle that same year, as well as another when she was 4 years old, likewise, while she'd been sitting on a couch. Initially, she was not going to tell any adult about any of the incidents, but her cousin overheard her telling her sister, even though she made him promise not to speak to anyone else about it. He ended up telling his mother because he felt he could trust her, and that led to reports being made. Due to the passage of time between the events and the allegations coming to light, there wasn't much in the way of physical evidence available at trial. Assistant State's Attorneys N. Chi Lin and Joel Fletcher relied on the victim's testimony, as well as a record of an earlier testimony at a children's advocacy center with a forensic interviewer who was able to speak more about this type of incident and the victim's demeanor. Thompson denied the incident occurred altogether, and Weiner's arguments centered around discrepancies between the victim's accounts of the incidents as well as between what various witnesses said occurred surrounding the alleged incidents themselves. While the victim could not recall certain details like what she or Thompson were wearing during the incident, no motive was discovered for her to have invented the story. And continuing with Kathy Reiser's mailbag, among the questions asked is, what's about to happen in the field behind Copper Creek Church on Curtis Road? I think they own the land, and usually it's planted with corn or soybeans. This year it's a weed patch, and now there's some construction equipment back there. Dan Hallback of Hallback Homes said his company has completed the purchase of the former farmland between the church and Barkstall Elementary School. First Presbyterian Church of Champaign recently sold that 18-acre parcel to Hallback, and the reader will be pleased to know that the weeds have been mowed. Originally a satellite congregation of First Press, Copper Creek Church began operating as an independent faith community in 2012. We should start the infrastructure in the next few weeks for a new single-family home community, Hallbeck said. We are projecting home sites to start at $69,500. Homes are projected to start around $490,000 to $550,000, and with the size of lots on the pond will most likely be a few larger homes and probably more custom oriented. With this being the latest development for Hallback Homes, we hope to capture a new market to meet the demand for housing in our area. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette for the Saturday-Sunday edition of July 11th and 12th, 2026. Please stay tuned.